Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. But you know what I see? I see a lot of kibble going off the shelf. When I go into Big R, when I go into some of the other box stores, some I will not patronize anymore, but I see these great big old bags of kibble going out the door. And I get it. Money, inflation, right? Money is tight. But man, Dr. Jasek, we can't do the kibble thing because kibble just leads to more problems. And if things are going to get tight, good medicine is going to get tight. And we got to have these dogs as healthy as possible. There ain't nothing healthy about kibble. Can you find anything healthy about kibble, Dr. Jasek?
No, nothing that I found.
And the short answer is no.
No. You know, and I used to, you know, walk the line a little bit if people do, I really can't afford raw. And then we'd try to, you know, I'd make some suggestions for quote unquote, you know, better quality kibble. I don't do that anymore because there are no good quality kibbles. They're all overly processed, you know, 50% carbohydrate. God knows what else is in them. And the ones you paid more money for, you're just paying more money for crap. You know, you're not getting really any better nutrition because it's all processed. They can start with quote unquote better ingredients, but then by the time they process the heck out of it and form it into these little dry pellets, you have no nutrition left. And if you think the food's expensive, what about the vet bills when your dog gets sick? And, you know, we were talking about shortages. What if the medicines to treat your pet are become unavailable? You know, we're starting to get into some supply chain issues. Prices are going up. So you think your vet bills are a lot now, wait a few months when supplies, you know, or products become in short supply and, you know, veterinarians have to start to ration their medical supplies. They're going to start triaging your pet. And you know, the raw food at that point will look like a big, big bargain. And you'll be wishing that you'd taken advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, like us, we need to keep our pet's health up. We need to get that immune system up, right? Another thing that we see other than CKS, Dr. Jasek, which is crappy kibble syndrome, right? We see crappy kibble syndrome all the time, right? So I talk to pet parents who constantly call me and say, hey, my dog has a very sensitive stomach. Well, what is he eating? Oh, crappy kibble. Okay. Well, that's not okay. But they're not born with sensitive stomachs, right? They are created to have these crappy kibble syndrome problems. One thing that I want to talk about is also when you're on a raw diet, I think that the biggest problem that I see is that pet parents are still not making this connection, Dr. Jasek, that whatever else is going into the body has an effect on the dog. Okay. So let me give you an example. We have a customer and they sent in information and said, hey, my dog has been having soft stools. I think I want to bring this back, you know, this blend back, this one, and get something different. Okay, here we go with the questions. You know, what else is going into the dog's body, right? Here's what we found. This particular dog was getting a supplement called Shed X, because the pet parent really needed this dog to maybe stop shedding so much. To which Neely Piazza says, look, if your dog is going to have healthy skin and a healthy coat, they're going to shed. They need to shed. Okay. Right. Right? That's part of the process.
It's not all about convenience. You know, I think sometimes people get inconvenienced with the, you know, have to vacuum up hair. Well, yeah, dog shed. You don't want to vacuum up hair, don't get a dog.
Right. I have two Germans. And but I will say this, that feeding a raw diet has dramatically decreased the shedding in the dogs. Also, remember, you could brush your dog every other day.
Gee, what a novel concept.
Okay. But to put something like Shed X in your dog is probably not a good idea. Let me tell you why. These are the ingredients in this particular product: soybean oil, seed oil, fish oil, wheat germ oil, beef flavor. That is a darn sure no-no. A bunch of synthetics and preservatives. Okay. So when we're looking at what is making my dog's poop loose, Dr. Jacy, do you see anything in there that could be making the dog's poop loose?
Yeah, pretty much everything that's in it, because there's nothing good in there. And I think it's so important for people to read the label. I mean, I've read labels incessantly for years, whether it's pet products or my products. I mean, I've been in natural grocers like forever, like reading labels on different things, because even in stores like that, there's really creative marketing from the companies, but then you read the ingredients, it's like, yeah, this isn't so great and natural and safe, and in my opinion. So you have to read. Don't just believe the marketing. I think people see, you know, products like this. Oh, stop shedding. Great. I would love it if my dog shed less. Well, they don't stop to look at what's in it. Could there be any harm, you know, with this product? And if the pet's truly shedding excessively, I mean, we said, okay, all dogs shed. Didi, you got two German shepherds. Your dogs shed, right? But they're going to shed less if they're on good nutrition. So let's look at what's going on. Can we improve the balance of the diet? Can we improve the nutrition by, say, checking a vitamin D level? Maybe we have some, you know, low D levels, or we're low in some other specific nutrients. Maybe they need a little boost, a little, you know, algae, little phytosynergy or something like that. Maybe there's things we can do. There's such a strong mentality to just want the Band-Aid, just fix it. I don't want to figure it out. Just fix it. Well, I'm in the business of figuring it out, and I like to get to the root of problems, not just put Band-Aids on things. Cause a lot of times those Band-Aids are not going to be good for your pet.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. Are you saying, Dr. Jacy, that you actually like to do research, and that you actually do research? You don't just go with the mainstream narrative?
You know, I actually run the other way of the mainstream narrative, because I have found it to be wrong so many times that whatever they're saying mainstream, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do the opposite, because I know they have other agendas besides the truth. I'm interested. I'm interested in the truth. Bottom line, what a novel concept. Let's actually find out the truth about what's going on. And yeah, you know, the truth, sometimes it's a little inconvenient. You might learn some stuff that you didn't want to know. Like, oh, I got to take food out of the freezer and thaw it. I can't just dump kibble in the bowl, you know? So yeah, I might have to work a little bit more. To me, that's not a lot of work, you know, considering the benefits, but I think a lot of people feel that way. They don't want to change what they're doing. They don't want to know, because then they're going to have to do something different, heaven forbid. Well, do you want help? Do you want your pets to be healthier? Then yeah, you might have to work a little bit at it. And it might take a while. You know, if pets have been on crappy diets and over vaccinated and all these meds for months and months and months, we're not going to clear up their symptoms overnight. You know, that's conventional medicine, putting the Band-Aid on. If we're going to heal them naturally, it's probably going to take months and months and months to reverse the process that's going on. And so, yeah, you might be a little inconvenienced. You might not like the answers, but I'm going to say what I have found to be true in my years of practice. And people that don't like that approach, well, then I'm not their person.
Right.
I'm pretty blunt in that way anymore, Dee Dee. I just, you know, but people need to understand where I'm coming from and what this approach is. And it's not conventional medicine. And if you want the Band-Aid, then there's plenty of conventional vets to provide that. But that isn't going to be me.
Nope. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. And I'm glad that you take that stance. Now, here's one of the issues that I see, Dr. Jacek. So this particular situation where you have a dog on a great raw diet, all right, and you have this shed X that clearly is a processed supplement, okay? As a matter of fact, Neely Piazza, who here's what she said. She goes, holy cow, that's a lot of inflammation for that dog. All right. So that she goes, and she said the ingredient list is horrifying, right? So that was her comment about this Shed X. Here was a little bit of the misconception from the pet parents. And I see this a lot. So I think the Shed X was being used prior to coming onto the raw diet. Okay. And maybe they saw a little bit of benefit, right? Mm-hmm. So they get on the raw diet where it's totally bioavailable. We don't need this crappy synthetic vitamin A and D. Why? Because you get vitamin A where chicken, pork, egg, salmon, mm-hmm. Sardines, liver, kidney, brains. Okay. And where do you get vitamin D? We get that vitamin D out of beef, elk, eggs, sardines, liver, kidney. So liver and kidneys almost in everything that we mm-hmm. have out there.
Fat, may I add that fat is an excellent source of vitamin D, and adding a little extra fat in will help bump up those fat soluble vitamins that are very important. And guess what? They may help stop shedding. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to eat more fat. I don't want my...
And we're not talking soybean. I just got the okay. Either. When we're talking fat, yeah. In case you're excessively shedding, Dee Dee, maybe a little pork tallow in. But good fat, like well-sourced saturated animal fats, not all of your vegetable oils are just, they're just rancid by nature. Your soy, corn, canola, they're in these clear bottles. They're not stable molecules to begin with. And then they expose them to light and heat. Those are just toxic from the, you know, from the get-go. But the most nutritious fats are actually the saturated animal fats, like the tallow and the lard and these things that we've been told to avoid because they're going to cause heart disease. Well, guess what? That was all a big scam too. What causes heart disease is inflammation from sugar and processed carbohydrates, i.e. kibble, for dogs. It's not the fat. Fat has been unjustly vilified, and there's a lot of nutritional benefit to adding some of that in. So that's my soapbox on fat.
Thank you very much. We love that. but the other thing is that this particular pet was getting a good supplement, mm-hmm. our green eggs, which is fabulous. You can add it to the food. Look at the ingredient list. It's a fabulous, but here was the comment from the pet parent. I'm going to stop doing the green eggs. And I said, well, if we're going to stop doing something, we need to stop doing the shed eggs. Okay. So, I mean, stop doing everything, right? And let's get a new baseline. But I think that sometimes we toss the wrong thing out. Many times we toss the wrong thing out. Mm-hmm. Okay. We keep in the pharmaceuticals. We keep in the chewy.com crap. Okay. That you can pull, you know, that's sitting on their shelves, the Shed X. Come on, feed real food. We got to feed mm-hmm. real food, do the rotational diet, and hit it from that angle. Let's don't throw out the good stuff and keep the bad stuff. A plus B doesn't always equal C. Okay. So that's what I want to say about that we see that a lot. We see that when people call about the food, there's other stuff going in there. I need to put up, Dr. Jacek, a little thing, like a womp, 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 you know, those that stop, do not, you know, go any further until you have really looked at everything that's going into the dog's body, because I asked that question and I know you do too, you know, all the time. And so I want to say, don't call me. You don't need to go in and see Dr. Jasek or call me until you've actually looked at what else is going into the dog's body. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know this. Okay. Right.
And this includes things like vaccines. I can't tell you how many dogs that I see that, you know, are itching or have some kind of chronic symptoms. Well, are you vaccinating? And, you know, a lot of the time, not always, you know, some of the people that come in to see me don't vaccinate their pets every year. But a lot of them do, and they've had vaccines and on the heartworm and the flea and tick, and people just don't even think that these products could be causing the dog's symptoms. They'll change the protein. Oh, it must be the chicken. I don't know how many times, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that. I think my dog's allergic to chicken. Okay. You know, I'd be wealthy. I could retire if I had a dollar for every time I'd heard that one. And maybe there are some slight sensitivities, but to your point, Dee Dee, to do the very first thing, oh, I better stop feeding beef or stop feeding chicken or stop feeding whatever. I think it's the pork. I'm pretty sure I tried a little pork and I think it's the pork. How about, all the other crap that they're on? Let's take all of those things out and work on healing the gut, because a lot of the issues that we see health-wise, any kind of inflammation in the body, is gut-related. So we got to heal the gut. And part of that is to quit insulting it with putting crap like rancid oils in just because it sounds good and you don't want to have to vacuum your house every day.
Yeah. And come on. I mean, you're just wasting your money. I did have a new customer call yesterday. She was spending $180 a month on supplements. Okay. What was she feeding? Royal Canin. What was the result? Not good. She was not getting the benefits she was trying to supplement for. And I said, you can't out-supplement a bad diet, not in people and not in pets. And she said, no, I totally agree with that. The one that she was specifically calling about was an 11-year-old dog who had extreme, you know, arthritis. I said, well, look, let's put this dog on a real raw diet, pull out all the processed stuff. But I said, let's just start with this one dog. And the price of the food, if you got rid of all the supplements, she could afford the price of the food. So again, you guys, you can't out supplement a bad diet. All right. So you can take all the supplements you want for maybe, you know, joint pain and this and that. But if you're putting in inflammatory foods, i.e. processed foods, dairy, that sort of thing, well, probably not going to do much good. All right. May make you mentally feel better, but won't
do much. That reminds me of a saying I had horses, you know, currently, but I've done a lot of horseback riding, and there's no cowboy saying that you can't pad out of a bad saddle fit. The saddle doesn't fit the horse. It doesn't matter how many pads you put on it. It still isn't going to fit the horse. So it's kind of the same thing. The diet doesn't fit. It doesn't matter what else you put in, and you're spending so much money. I have actually seen joint supplements. Some of the popular joint supplements like Cosequin and some of these real popular ones actually cause itching. Because I tell people, you know, we've had this discussion, I don't know how many times, where we pull pets off of supplements, get a new baseline, see where we're at. And I had one client that was just amazed that they stopped the glucosamine supplement and the dog quit itching. Like, yeah, because there's all this other processed crap in it. And maybe it won't stop the itching, but isn't it worth a try? And then you can save the money on that supplement, put it towards a better diet, and your dog is healthier, and you're spending the same or less money. And you're not putting a bunch of stuff in your dog's diet that it doesn't need.
Right. And for this, this same customer, they do have a younger dog that is way overweight, and they really want to get this dog. She just said, you know, this dog's just, it's young and it's lethargic and she said it's not happy and blah, blah, blah. So she said, I'm going to start giving it, you know, hamburger meat. And I said, okay, well, if you're going to do that, let me help you. On our site, we do have guts and glory. Those are going to be the freeze-dried organs, all right? So let's add that in, and let's add in the better bones, the freeze-dried bones that we have. Add those in if you're going to do the hamburger, you know, and I do have a report. Neely has a new puppy, and so she's been doing tripe, the guts and glory, and the better bones. And I said, how are the poops? And she said, the poops are great. Poops are great. Now, Neely is big on, you know, getting these puppies to start, you know, chewing on or eating the duck feet and the turkey necks and everything like that. So that is a part of the diet as well. But she said she really likes this product. So that is something that pet parents can think about. I would rather, Dr. Jasek, I'm not a big fan, you know, people putting these diets together themselves, because a lot of times they don't add the organs and they don't add the bone. But we do have these two products. We would much rather see you pull these dogs off of these nutrition-less, these crappy kibble diets, and go this direction. So,
And stay whole food with the supplements. You know, if you're like, you've got the freeze dried, bones and the dried organs and the algae, you know, these are all natural whole food supplements. They're not synthetics. If you look at a product and there's just a whole bunch of chemicals that you don't know what they mean, those are the vitamins and minerals, but they are just a bunch of chemicals. And the more whole food nutrition you can give, the more bioavailable it's going to be. And that's where you want to be with your supplements. You don't want to just run out and grab a bunch of synthetic supplements just because it says, you know, complete and balanced and make your dog healthy and make it stop shedding and all that stuff. Don't believe all that stuff.
Nope. People lie.
It's called marketing, but a lot of times it is lying. Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting lies. It's called marketing. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. All right. So we had another call. One of my great customers called and said, hey, I have a neighbor whose dog got into some xylitol and is in the ER. She wanted to know if I thought that this particular dog would do better after he came home on a raw diet versus the boiled chicken and rice. Now, this was my question. I said, has this dog been on a raw diet? And she said, no, this dog has not been a raw diet. Now, this is an older dog. He's not been on a raw diet. And here's my response. I said, although we know that a raw diet is a bioavailable, a better diet, my concern and my experience shows me this, that if you have a pet parent who has a dog who has just gone through a traumatic event like this, they're not familiar with the raw diet. You put them on the raw diet, they're going to be very anxious. And that anxiety can cause them to see things that aren't really there. Okay. So yes, I think a raw diet is a better diet, but I'm not sure that you want to be the person that suggests that diet to that, you know, to that pet parent. Does that make sense, Dr. Jasek? Because I feel like, you know, people are very afraid of the raw diet. And if you have an instance where they've been in the ER, you bring them home, you put them on a raw diet, maybe they're still doing some type of medication or this or that, and they can't get the poops right. Maybe the dog's vomiting. And now we have a very fearful pet parent. What would you say about that?
Right. I mean, I think we have to look at the state of the pet when we are transitioning them to raw. And if they've had a big insult, they've been sick or just been on a whole bunch of antibiotics, then sometimes, yeah, that transition is trickier. And I think sometimes they need more support. I mean, I think we have to get them off of the crappy diets as quickly as possible, because we're not doing the pet any favor by keeping them on these horrific processed, you know, kibble diets. But it's a big change. The key is it's a change. It doesn't mean that the raw is bad for that pet. But if the digestion is weakened by whatever the pet has been going through, then sometimes we need to you know, ease into it. Maybe, you know, start with a boneless blend and lightly cook it for a little bit. I don't like the chicken and rice or hamburger and rice because then we've got rice. You know, we want to stay away from those, you know, high glycemic carbohydrates, but there are some intermediates. And, you know, I try to, you know, work with people on this, like, you know, let's take a boneless blend, maybe add in the freeze-dried bones, lightly cook it. Sometimes that makes for a little better transition. The most important thing is to get them off of the bad diet. And maybe we'll have a little diarrhea as they're going through this transition, but then we just know, okay, we need to support them more. There's herbs and supplements and, you know, like your Adore Beast products that you have there, the Healthy Gut, and some of these gut supplements that can help. Sometimes, you know, when I know a pet's had a really badly insulted gut from medications or whatever, then I'll do some more, you know, gut support supplementation during the transition and see if that helps. But it doesn't mean that the food is bad. It just means that the pet needs more support. And I think, I mean, I really try to educate people too about what to expect. Okay, your pet's been through a lot, not sure exactly how this transition is going to go, but let's start working with it and let's see what happens. And, you know, tell them that there's options so that they don't just run back into the ER and then the pet gets a whole bunch more antibiotics and they get a lecture on why they're killing their dog by eating raw. Like, see, your dog got sick, so it's the raw food, right? No, it's not that the food is bad. It's that we need to support the pet more. If we have a young, healthy puppy, I just love transitioning puppies to raw. And I'm like, just stop the kibble, feed them raw. And most young, healthy puppies that haven't had all these medications and everything, they transition to raw and don't even look back. They're like, thank God, somebody figured out how to feed me some real food. And they're just like, great. So young, healthy dogs, they can just transition right away. But if the pet's having trouble, we may need to work through the transition, but it doesn't mean that they can't feed raw.
Listen, for those of you that don't know why xylitol is bad for your dog, let me tell you why. Because when a dog eats xylitol is quickly absorbed into the bloodstream and it causes this release of insulin from the pancreas. Okay. So this rapid release results in a decrease in the level of blood sugar. And that can happen within 10 minutes to an hour of ingestion. And so untreated, this can be life threatening. All right. Now, what has xylitol in it? There's a lot of things that you guys may not, and I have no idea what this pet ingested, but let me tell you some places that xylitol is hiding that you may not be aware of. Cough drops and syrups, instant coffee, drink powders, barbecue sauce, ketchup, vitamins, certainly candy and chocolates, toothpaste, all right, chewing gum and mints, peanut butter, take a look. Now, there are a few brands that don't have xylitol, but take a look. Pancake syrup and puddings. These are just some places that xylitol is hiding and that your dog can get into. But as I was doing a little more research on this, you know what is a great rescue for this xylitol poisoning, Dr. Jasek? Glutathione. It's an antioxidant. Okay. It exists in all of our cells. And they're saying that this can totally bring these dogs back to life. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, do you know what is a great supplement for glutathione? Well, it was something that the FDA during this pandemic pulled off the market. It's called NAC. NAC. So that is one of the supplements that was pulled off the market. NAC helps decrease the severity and frequency of wheezing and respiratory attacks by boosting glutathione and thinning the bronchial mucus areas. And so this is also a remedy for helping dogs that have xylitol poisoning. And I thought this was interesting because they pulled this off the market. You can no longer get that. If you try to go out to a Walgreens, you can't find this anymore. Does that make any sense to you, Dr. Jasek? Why would you pull something that is so incredibly important to the body off the market?
Well, let's see. If you're a psychopath and you make a lot of money selling really expensive and useless medications, then why would you really wouldn't want something out there that could help the body heal naturally. So trying to think like a psychopath, like maybe from somebody that is interested in health and keeping the body healthy, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, from a follow the money perspective, yeah, it absolutely does. And that's why they're doing it. That's why they're, you know, giving ivermectin such a hard time, because we can't have safe and inexpensive treatments out there.
No, but I can tell you a way to get around these psychopaths. How are some other ways that you can get NAC into your body, your dog's body? Well, milk thistle boost your glutathione levels. I tell you what else, sulfur foods. Okay. So sulfur rich foods, like your green leafies and that sort of thing. Also something that we all are in the raw diet, raw liver. You know, eating this organ is a form of glutathione boosting. So there's ways to get around this, but I thought that this was so incredibly, well, evil, but informative, because I remember that right before they pulled this off the market, our son had just purchased, a large bunch of, you know, supplements with NAC. And he was like, oh my gosh, you can't get it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so crazy.
How convenient. Just squash the competition whenever, you know, something that might keep you from making billions and billions of dollars on a new drug. Let's just squash it. How convenient to have the power to do that.
Well, they're doing that with the old ivermectin. And so we're starting to see that ivermectin is becoming harder to get. You know, there was a big story. I'm from Oklahoma, and there was a big false story that came out of a hospital in Oklahoma that said that all of these people that were taking ivermectin were becoming sick, and they were clogging up the hospital in Oklahoma, and that these other people could not get services, to which they found that this was a totally bogus story. But I will tell you that the mainstream media ran with it. Let's still check it out. Let's still check the resources. Yeah. Let's just don't make sure that this stuff is correct. And no, let's just run with it, because that is the mainstream narrative. Okay.
Yeah. Ivermectin is ivermectin. And they put it in flavored paste so that you try to get your horse to swallow it, which half the time they don't, they spit all over the ground anyway. But that's why they have those different forms. You used to be able to get it in pill form for people. And, you know, they harp on this. Well, it's a horse dewormer. It's been approved and used in people for decades for parasite control. I mean, that's like a taboo word in this country. Ooh, people don't have parasites. Dogs have parasites and horses have people do have parasites. They say like about 25, 30% of people at any one time are going to, you know, test positive for some sort of parasite. And in other parts of the world, the poorer countries, it's used routinely. I actually heard a story, as a human story, but I'll tell it anyway. In a nursing home, there was on a certain nursing home, there was a on one floor, the people got scabies, which is a form of mites, and they treated them with ivermectin. That was the FDA approved treatment. And no one on that floor got COVID. The whole rest of the place got sick. No one on that floor. Now, wouldn't you think they'd want to investigate that? This is the whole, like, nobody checks, nobody follows up. Like, oh, we don't like that. We don't like that data. So let's just push it under the rug. We don't want to, we wouldn't want to be proving that ivermectin could be, you know, effective or something besides mites. It's an FDA, it's been an FDA approved drug in people for decades. This isn't about running out and getting horsewarmer. The only reason people are doing that is the pharmacies won't fill the prescriptions, or they've gotten so expensive. The prescriptions are like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. They're just starting to price gouge, and people want to be healthy. So they're looking for other sources of it, but it's been used safely in people for forever. So it's just all big, you know, propaganda thing, making it seem unsafe and bad because, ooh, we can't have any, you know, competition for our treatments that kill people. Why, what, wait, treatments that help people and save their lives? Well, why would they want to do that? We want treatments like ventilators and remdesivir that kill people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's much helps them along with their agenda. And I better stop there, but, that's the absurdity of it. That's
as the knock on the door comes, it says, Dr. Judy, are you speaking about NAC?
Yeah. But the same principles apply to veterinary medicine. It's the same. It's all the same industry. We're just a branch of the same industry, and they're profit driven. When things don't make sense, follow the money. They're looking to make money on selling these prescription diet foods and these medications that just keep your pets sicker, because there's way more money in keeping pets sick than in getting pets healthy by just feeding them something as simple as a raw diet. There's just so much money in the pharmaceutical industry, and that spills over into veterinary medicine as well.
Well, NAC was first made in 1961. It was made as an agent that broke up mucus in the respiratory tract. Isn't that what we were seeing a lot of? It was also an antidote for overdosing on things like Tylenol and poisoning the liver. Okay. So it also, they found in 1991 that it can restore glutathione levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, glutathione is the master antioxidant, in the human body. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The master antioxidant in the human body. So let's take the master antioxidant in the human body off the market. Right. We don't want anybody getting well.
I've actually heard from what I understand, like NAC is a precursor, you know, it increases the glutathione levels. And I've actually heard it's more effective than just taking straight glutathione, which I actually do take because it's such a powerful antioxidant. But I've since learned that the NAC is more effective because the glutathione isn't real well absorbed through the digestive tract. And so, but if you take the NAC, which is the precursor, it gets your levels up much, much higher. So that's why they're picking on that, I think.
Yeah. But it's also found in garlic, eggs, and poultry. Okay. Just to let you know. All right.
Yeah. I mean, fresh food has all the nutrients you need.
Would you ever, Dr. Jasek, speaking of whole food, would there ever be a situation that you would say, only feed duck, only feed beef, only feed this, your dog can't have anything else other than this, or they're going to be sick and die?
No. I mean, I might tell people start with one, like if we're new to raw, like let's start with this protein, introduce it, let's see how it goes, and then we start to rotate. But in the long term, no, because I think the pets are going to be malnourished. They're going to be missing some nutrients if we're not doing that proper rotation.
Because I am going to get back with this particular pet parent, but they are just so fearful to feed anything other than duck. Okay. And this, we've talked about another pet parent that was doing the same thing as another one. And she just lost one of her dogs. So she said, my dogs are very allergic and I am scared to death. I don't want to give them anything else. And I'm thinking, but this dog, you know, is not getting everything they need. There's just, and you know, duck is right now, we're having a hard time getting mm-hmm. duck. And so she literally was just so stressed because we had some delay in getting duck, and we will have delay in the next couple of weeks We will get it back, but there's going to be a little bit of a delay. So I'm just thinking there, you know, there's no way that we would ever say, or that I've ever seen, Dr. Jasek, a true reason for not allowing, and I'm going to say allowing, because this would be the pet parent's decision, not allowing a dog to have variety in their diet. I just don't see that that is a good strategy for pet health. No.
And, you know, most oftentimes when I see people that are so animate about this, and I don't know if this is the case for this client, but they've had allergy testing done. And allergy testing, in my experience, it does not draw a clear line between cause and effect. Because oftentimes pets will come up that they're sensitive to all kinds of things. And when people come into me and they are so set, I can only feed this protein because I did this allergy testing. But a lot of times when we see lots of things that there's quote unquote sensitive to based on the allergy testing, it's not that they're truly allergic, it's that their gut's leaky. And we need to work on healing the gut so they're not absorbing these, they're absorbing the protein molecules before they're completely broken down. And that's what creates the sensitivity. And so we need to heal the gut, tighten up those junctions in between those intestinal cells so that they're absorbing the molecules after they've been broken down. And then a lot of times that sensitivity will go away. So I think a lot of this allergy testing, it creates a lot of false information, in my opinion, because until we've eliminated all the kibble, eliminated all the supplements that might have other processed ingredients in them that could be inflaming the gut, and all the medications and the vaccines and all this other stuff, that body's inflamed. In my opinion, that allergy test is going to be invalid. And people get obsessed over the singular protein, and then the pet's nutrition suffers.
When I look out in the market, and certainly today, when I see all of the misinformation and all of the redirecting, you see that a lot of marketing, they don't care. They do not care if this is dangerous to your pet or to you, you know, and there may be one sliver of truth of what they're saying, right? So like, let's go back to the Shed X product because it has vitamin D in it or, you know, some other things that are good for the skin. They may be able to say this is a product that helps shedding. But what they don't say is, see all this other crap? It ain't good for your dog at all, right? So I think that, again, you have to get really basic. And what we say time after time after time, and I hope we drill it into your head, is that real food with the real vitamins and minerals is the way to go, period, bar none. And if you combine real food with crappy supplements and crappy treats, you're not going to get the best effect. If you combined real food with pharmaceuticals that destroy the gut, you're not going to get the best benefits. But real food is still going to be your absolute best foundation for people and for pets.
Absolutely.
There's no other way around it. Thank you. Pass the plate. Okay, everybody, I'll take 10% of your earnings, right?
Before taxes.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take 10% before taxes. All right. Well, that is our podcast for today. You know, if you have a dog that's been assaulted, right, with the guts assaulted, been on bad food, maybe you had an issue like this dog that got into xylitol, go talk with Dr. Jasek about how to get this gut in the best position. You can find Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. She is at ahavet.com. That stands for Animal Healing Arts. I want to ask you really quick before we go, though, shamanic healing.
Oh, yeah.
Shamanic healing. You've got another session going on.
So this would be energetic healing. So shamanic healing, actually shamans, traditionally, so shamans were the healers in indigenous cultures, and they actually heal by kind of accessing the the spiritual realm. What's really cool about what Teague does is she sits with the person and the pet, and she identifies things about the person's energy that might be contributing to the pet's, you know, health issues, because pets will take on their people's energies, right? And so when she sits with the person and their pet, she looks at both. And she, because of her training or background, this, she actually assesses what's going on energetically between the person and the pet. Are those things linked? And then it's actually about clearing past, you know, issues, past traumas, you know, things that, you know, and I've actually had some individual sessions with her myself, because she works individually with people too. And it's quite interesting, because she will pick up on things that, you know, like I've been harboring stuff that comes up in your childhood, like way back when, that sort of is always there smoldering and you sometimes don't even realize it. And man, she could just like nail it. Like she would just intuitively kind of know what to ask. And then there's certain shamanic techniques for clearing these energies. And I don't mean energies like demons or anything like that, but negative energies that are affecting your health and or affecting your pet's health. And it's super interesting. I actually met her through a client of mine whose pet has cancer, has an oral tumor that has shrunk down, hasn't completely gone away. It's gotten real small, not bothering the pet. It's having great success. And she has worked with Teague extensively. So it's very interesting. And I've been interested in shamanic medicine for a long time, because it's, you know, it's a way of, again, getting to the root cause. If we have, you know, energetic factors in our illness and, you know, or people, it's things like stress and we're, you know, the stuff that goes on in our head, and she helps you identify and clear all that. And with the pets, it's more, it's more intuitive about, you know, what's going on with the pet health-wise. So it's super interesting and can be really, really effective.
Well, I'm going to send you some people that I know need to get the demons cleared. Okay. They need to clear the demon. We're going to clear the parasites, but they got to clear the demon.
Take the ivermectin
and then go to your shaman. That's right. That's right. And then come back and talk to me. All right. So you can find out when these sessions are going to be held over at Dr. Jasek's website. So that's ahavet.com. If you want to get your dog on a species appropriate diet and you want to do it with a discount, well, then I think that you need to come to my site every Thursday night when we have Yappy Hour from 6 to midnight. We have a sale going on. All right. Do not forget about our learning center. We have so much stuff in there. I've got the steps. There, if you go to the beginner section, there's the steps. How do you start a raw diet? There's the steps. If you want to know what the vitamin and minerals are in the whole food diet, they're there in the learning center, right? All of our podcasts are there. I've got a new feeders webinar. Go to the webinar section. Some people can say it's overwhelming. Well, don't digest the whole thing in one day, but there's a lot of good information there. Get started on a species appropriate diet today. Remember, supplements matter, treats matter. Everything that we do here at Raw Dog Food and Company is to keep the process and the preservatives and the synthetics and the, you know, flavorings out of your dog. So these are going to be very clean supplements. They're whole food supplements. By the way, Dr. Jasek, speaking of leaky gut, Julianne from Adored Beast will be doing a session for us in October. So
nice.
This would be great. So she is the creator, the founder of that leaky gut protocol. And I think we'll be able to help people realize your dog ain't allergic to every protein on the earth. So go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.